You're listening to The Global Game on SEN.
Yeah, it's time for our weekly Premier League chat as we welcome listeners to SENWA with ex-Norwich City, Manchester City, Leicester City, played for a lot of cities, and Derby County defender Spencer Pryor. Evening to you, Spenner. How are you, mate?
Good, Treacle, you?
I'm very good, Treacle. Okay. Now, before we get on to the Premier League, I know you wanted to me to ask you about the Matildas. You're a former assistant coach of the Matildas, of course. You wanted to give your view on their opinions, on their performance. So off you go.
Look, I thought, I mean, they got obviously the result kind of has papered over the cracks, but it's actually been good to see a couple of media outlets now starting to ask some of the challenging questions. I don't know what your general thought was, but I still think we're a country mile off. We're promoting players that aren't ready. I really enjoyed reading something Courtney Vine wrote today or said, where she feels like there's a skip generation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've obviously got the senior group, and then we're putting all these real young ones in, but there's a group in between that are like the 21, 22, 23-year-olds that are a little bit more mature.
So, fair, Spen, Georgie Ermandale made that point in commentary with me during the match as well. So where is that generation? Where is that generation?
Well, they're here. They're here. They're here playing it. They'll be in the W League this year, and we'll see them. And, you know, I'm not ultimately one of those people that says you've got to go overseas if you want to be a Matilda. The crop that are the senior players now, they never got in that space before. So we've got to make sure that the programs here are really, really right. The W League's right. And then, you know, everything else around it to give those players support. They train with boys. They play against boys. On the field, I thought the team were bang average. I wasn't really sure about the performance. I think the coach tactically does have the nous. I'd rather see my coach being a tactical guy than being the cheerleader, you know, where he's wearing his Aussie scarf and he's pumping up the crowd. I'm not interested in that. Mm. I want to see the coach really, really have an impact on the team and the players, and I can't see it right now.
Okay.
And with the current group and the ones coming through, I just can't see an X factor with many of them, you know. Yeah, it's just not there.
Okay, so, well, to be fair, I mean, a lot of people are saying the same about the men's team as well. And by the way, Spen, it's the Liberty A League these days. We don't call it the W League anymore. Oh, yeah. Don't forget the sponsors. Okay, let's move on and talk about the Premier League. Broski.
Yeah, some big results, Spenner, overnight. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary. Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool. Liverpool with a big win in that derby
there. What about some of the goals, by the way?
Yeah.
The quality of the goals.
It's like there's like a mini league going on now, isn't there, with those three?
There is.
I think it's those three, right, Broski? We're going to be looking at the winners coming from there. Mm-hmm. I was listening to another radio show this morning, and they were talking about the odds. Man City are 11-8 on to win the league, by the way, and I think Chelsea are only playing like 7-2, and same with Liverpool. So the expectation is that Man City have got that depth that will go on. Mm-hmm. Brilliant performance from Liverpool, really, really solid performance from Man City. That was, you know, going and playing there and actually coming away with a win. That's a big, big statement going to Villa and picking up a win, because he's made a big impact, Steven Gerrard, right?
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, is it just the case of a new manager coming in, which always brings, you know, that immediate response, or have you seen enough, you know, in Gerrard and what he's done with his team that there's some more expectations on them now?
Yeah, there will be. And, you know, he inherited a good squad. I thought Dean Smith was unlucky to lose his job, but Steven Gerrard's come in and, you know, he's done his bit of apprenticeship at Rangers. And I actually think he'll really set the team up well. He won't manage by fear. So, you know, he's not worried about whether he, he loses his job or not. I mean, the guy's minted as it is, right? So he's not doing it for the money. He's, you know, and he wants to make a significant impact as a manager. So he'll set his team up really well and he'll be proper brave with them as well. You know, they came out and they responded in the second half and got a goal back. And, you know, it made the game closer than it needed to be for Man City. And Simon and I have spoke about this off air, that I still think that's the one thing that's separating Man City from Liverpool at the moment, is that ability to absolutely kill teams off, like really kill them off.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure Man City are doing that right now. That's what makes us a little bit nervous.
Don't worry, Sven. Harry Kane or Erling Haaland are arriving in January. I'm certain of it. Let's talk a bit about Everton, because obviously they lost the Merseyside derby, which they probably expected to do. But to lose 4-1 at home, even despite the quality of some of the goals, Mo Salah's double, if you've not seen it, absolutely world-class finishes on both. The same with Bernardo Silva, by the way, for Man City at Aston Villa. But in terms of Everton, we spoke in depth about this last week. Is Rafa Benitez on seriously borrowed time now, particularly given those links that he has with Liverpool, which didn't make him a popular appointment in the first place?
Yeah, but by all accounts, I think, look, he's probably on borrowed time. Listening to his press conference after the game, he talks about how, you know, they're lacking confidence, but, you know, we try and reset after each game. We prepare the teams properly. We put them on the park. And then, you know, and he said, like, today was about defensive errors, whereas our last few weeks it's not been taking our opportunities in the front third. So I'm not going to say that he started passing the buck onto the players, but ultimately it stops with him as the manager. The thing is, as well as a club, I think culturally at the moment they're in a really, really tough space. There's internal fighting between Bill Kenwright and the owners, and they're going to have to go through some pain, right? So, you know, whether Rafa goes, a club like Everton really needs somebody that understands Everton, whether that's Duncan Ferguson stepping up, whether it's a Wayne Rooney coming in, someone that can make the players and the fans and get everybody on side and rebuild the club, because, look, they're not going to get relegated because there's definitely three worst teams in the league. That's pretty much given, right? But it's about where it goes from here now. And, you know, we spoke last week about what a great start they had, but that was unsustainable, really, given the quality of the players that they've got.
Yeah.
They've not got a deep squad, so get Wayne Rooney in there.
Okay, you heard it from Spencer. Wayne Rooney is the man to take Everton to the next level. That'd be interesting. 0457 736 736, if you've got a view on that. That segues quite nicely. You were talking about the fact that Everton aren't going to be relegated. Norwich and Newcastle drew 1-1, which is probably the worst result for both clubs, given their respective predicaments. And Tim Coughlin has texted us and said, question for Spencer, at this stage, which three Premier League teams do you think will get relegated?
All right, well, I think that them two are pretty much in trouble. I think Burnley will be in there as well. Watford are kind of in and around the mix, but look, I think it will be Norwich. I think it will also be Newcastle and one other.
Oh, so you think Newcastle aren't going to survive, even with all that cash that they're going to throw at the transfer market in January?
No, I'm going Newcastle are going to get punted. Yeah, okay. I think they'll go down.
Wow. You heard it here first.
Spanner, what about last week after Man United's 1-1 draw at Stamford Bridge? You would have seen the chat between Roy Keane and Jamie Carragher after the game. I mean, how good was that? How good was that? Whose side did you take? Who were you agreeing with more?
I think I was agreeing with Roy Keane, actually.
Really?
That, you know, they brought him in to win trophies. That's it, right? He's there to win trophies, short-term fixed trophies. He's not there for the long term, right? So that's why you've got to play him. And because he's scoring goals. Cristiano Ronaldo is scoring goals, right? He scores goals, and if he doesn't, he's creating them. He's a constant threat. And then they were talking about, well, he doesn't press. And they said, well, you know, it's true. He's never really been one of those players that does press. I think with a change of manager now, we'll see a completely different Man United setup. Like, really see a really different setup over the remainder of the season.
You don't think there was any expectation then to, you know, to challenge for the Premier League? They brought in Varane as well with Ronaldo. I mean, their squad, their starting 11. Sancho is a very, very good team. I mean, under, you know, I think a Jurgen Klopp or a Pep Guardiola has that team challenging.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree. I think they would be challenging. But the reality is, seeing them, how they're all set up now, We spoke earlier in the year that you've got your front three or four players and then you've got the rest. So it was so disjointed in terms of whether they were going to press, whether they're going to sit. The attacking players, when the ball went beyond them, there was no tracking back. So the team looked really, really disjointed. And we don't know the internal dynamics that's going on in the dressing room, right? But you can't win a league with that sort of mentality. And I've got to be honest, they could have been challenging, but I still think they're a country mile behind the other three. I mean, way behind the other three. Arsenal, obviously, if Arsenal win their game tonight, they actually can go in the top four. You know, and everyone was talking about Arteta should maybe get sacked. He was one of the favourites to get punted, first of all. But, you know, Arsenal are coming into the mix now as well. Man United don't. No one's got a divine right, Broski, right, to be at the top of the Premier League, and it's super hard. And it's not always about how much money you go and spend. And the thing is, players like Sancho, he's brought him in and he's been sticking him on the bench every week, right? So it's not been sending a great message.
Spanner, just one more on a slightly different topic before we let you go for tonight. I saw this week that the Arsenal player Gabriel has been attacked by a baseball bat wielding thief trying to steal his car. Now, this isn't the first time this has sort of happened. These gangland crimes targeting footballers. I'm not saying this happened to you, but as a Premier League star, and you were back in the day, you'd have earned very, you know, good money playing for the clubs that you played for. You'd have lived in a big house and driven a nice car and had all the accoutrements that went with it. Did you ever feel as though you were a bit of a target? And perhaps even more so these days, given that the money they're on would seem to make sense.
The only time I felt like I was a target was when I was at Cardiff, mate. That's the only time I thought it was... I was a target.
That's when you ate the sheep's testicles, wasn't it?
Constantly watching my back to try and make sure I didn't get knifed in it. But the rest of the time, we didn't feel threatened as players in those days. We're so far removed from the UK now, but these guys are next level in terms of. Their lifestyles and, you know, the luxuries that these guys have, it is next level wealth. And, yeah, it's pretty dangerous for them, right? So, we never felt like that. So, I mean, we'd go and have a beer in the pub with the punters. That's the sort of thing that we were doing.
More than a few you did with likes of, we shouldn't mention the name, but there were one or two. Hey, Spanner, we've got to leave it there. And next week, if you can try and move out of the toilet when you're talking, because you sound very far away today.
It's all right. I've got my headphones in. That's all right.
That's what it is. All right. Hey, thanks for your time, mate. We'll catch up with you next week. Good on you, mate.
Cheers, Spanner.
See ya.
That's Spencer Pryor. Before we leave this segment, a word on the deaths of this week. Ray Kennedy, former Liverpool and England star. And John Sillitz, who older listeners might remember, was joint manager of Coventry City along with George Curtis, who I think has also passed away now. When Coventry City famously won the cup against Tottenham back in 1987. Always sad to see players and coaches, legends of past generations pass on. And Ray Kennedy, who had Parkinson's disease since 1984. So quite remarkable, really, that he was with us for so long, but he passed away. This week. Premier League action this weekend. Tomorrow morning, Tottenham against Brentford. Manchester United against Arsenal. Saturday, West Ham against Chelsea is the early kickoff. Liverpool go to Wolves and Man City are at Watford. And we will speak to Spencer Pryor, of course, next week to round up the Premier League action. Off for another quick break. On the other side of it, we will round up the rest of the world football news.